Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome to another episode. Hi, Arvy. How are you?
How you doing, Jeff? I'm good.
I'm Jeff Barton, and I am your voice in the mortgage industry. Today's show, I'm really excited about it. We got some awesome guests, and we want to get right to what we've seen in the local area news in the Bay Area about what's going on in the housing market. Just recently, we saw an article in the, San Francisco Chronicle. It was written by a gal named Emily Landes, L-A-N-D-E-S. Forgive me if I'm butchering your pronunciation. However, what she was talking about is the market is so hot, and it's hot because two of the area's greatest employers are bidding for downtown commercial space and commercial space all over the Bay Area. And as everybody knows, it's... Google and...
Apple is up there, too.
Well, no. The actual fight that I was reading about, the two companies, of course, it slips my mind right when I'm about ready to say it. But the interesting thing here is that what happens in the residential market when it is overheated in the commercial space, when people and the jobs and the demand for housing gets so intense, we're pushing people further and further away from the epicenter of where the jobs are. And so in this article that I am quoting, she says, is West Portal the new? No. Is it? Well, what is she talking about? She's talking about the areas in San Francisco, the areas in San Jose, and the areas in Oakland. And they're talking about what is happening is that the demand is high. So therefore, the gentrification, what's happening for the demand of space is pushing further and further out into the burbs, into the areas that recently weren't that great. I know, based on where I've lived and where I've lived in many, many different cities, that what happens in a market where the employment is high and what you've got is great demand on housing, all of a sudden, areas that you wouldn't go to 4 or 5 years ago become hot, and the gentrification begins, and all of a sudden, the demand for the housing. So we have got some great people today to talk about a different kind of funding. I know that a lot of people out there do not have W-2 jobs. So how are you going to get a house? Well, we got a guy named Eric Morganson who's coming from Angel Oak Funding, and what he's going to talk about is non-QM loans. And then later in the day, we've got Wendy Van Wessel from Stearns Lending, and she's going to talk about how the rates are affecting your purchasing power. Are the rates going to be flat? Are they going to be moving up? Where is it that we're talking about the Fed purchasing on the mortgage bond buying or in the mortgage-backed securities? So it's incredibly important that you give us a call if you want to get in the queue for any of these questions. 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton, and with me, Arvy Abramian. Now, a lot of you don't know that Arby's nickname is the Mortgage Doctor. And why is that? Because he's becoming a physician. This is the quality of the people that we have at Malibu Funding. Not only can we get your mortgage done, but we can also write you a prescription. Right, Arvy?
For the mortgages.
For the mortgage, yes. We'll write you a mortgage prescription. Okay. So what have you got for us today, Arvy?
I saw this article on CNN Money. It's by Les Christine. And it says nearly 2 million homeowners no longer seriously underwater. So the title, actually, that's a positive way of saying we are moving toward a positive direction.
That's right. It's what we were doing in the, when mortgage meltdown happened in the last probably 3 to 5 years ago, we probably had, let's say, 15 to 20 million people underwater. And what does that mean? That means that you owe more than your house is worth. Well, we've had some pretty good, obviously, we're talking right now in this article by Emily. Mm-hmm. About how the demand for housing is high, which means that the prices are rising. So what we're seeing now in the Bay Area is that we've got this tremendous increase in prices all across the board. And the article that you're quoting.
And it says during first quarter, 9.1 million or 17% of homeowners seriously were underwater.
Okay.
But that's not a bad number because we're down 10.9 million or 26%. According to Realty.
From trend. Last year.
From last year, yes.
So basically we've dropped from 10.9 to...
We decreased it by 26%.
So okay, that's unbelievable. What we're talking about is an increased value. But another article I've read is that Rising tides do not raise all boats. Now, what does this mean? It means that in the outlying areas, in areas not in great suburban areas that are experiencing good economic growth, what we're seeing is that in the marketplace that the economy isn't doing as great as we thought it would be. Therefore, the housing prices aren't increasing as much as they were. Let's say you're talking in the outlying areas up in Northern California and let's say in some parts of Nevada, certainly Washington and Oregon. If you get out of those centers, which are doing really well, you'll find that the property values haven't increased. So we've got a mixed message here. And one thing that we can say is that as a result of, you know, when times are really bad the way they are today, yes, they are improving. And they are improving fast in those areas with housing demand, such as the Bay Area, such as Southern California, even in cities like Los Angeles and Seattle. However, if you go to the rural areas, if you go to some of the smaller cities, I was reading an article yesterday online, talked about the 10 worst cities for growth in the United States. Now, what do we mean by growth? We mean that the economy is growing, and that particular number that we like to see is between 3 and 5%. Obviously, 4% growth would be unbelievable. Nationally, this year, I think it's 2.1, 1.9, something, and they keep revising it down. Well, these 10 cities that are the worst growth areas in the U.S., one happened to be a place where I spent a lot of time as a college student in Elmira, New York, if anyone out there has ever heard of Elmira, New York. However, their growth rate down there is 1.3%. So in some areas, the growth rate is not great. But not in our area. What we're talking about here is unbelievable growth rate. I think
Jeff, and remember, it's supply and demand.
That's
and
exactly what it is.
Every market is different.
Every market is different. That's why you need to give us a call at 888-713-2929. Now, you want to buy a house? You got to give us a call. You want to refinance your property, you got to give us a call. And let's say you're a non-traditional person, somebody who wants to be able to get into a house, but I'm not working for Google. I'm not working for Microsystems. I'm not working for Allegiant. What am I going to do to get a house? I own my own business, and I write off a lot of my expenses on the business, but I make pretty good money. I'm making $150,000 a year, but I can't document it like you could. Well, we've got an answer for you, and at pretty good rates. Coming up later in the show is Eric Morganson of Angel Oak Funding, and he's going to let us know exactly what his programs are and how we, through Malibu Funding, can help you get a loan like that, and that's really important. They're an equity-driven company, and there's two ways to get a loan. You either do it the traditional way by which your loan is going to be sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, or you got to go to somebody who's going to purchase the loan and hold it themselves, which they call a portfolio lender and non-QM. And we'll get into that with Erica later on in the show. What else we have, Harvey? Let's see. I think what we've got here is Bank of America and Wells Fargo, as we talked about last week. They're finally settling up on – yes, they're settling once again with the federal government on a lawsuit or two lawsuits that they've had about some of the robo-signings that were going on. So when you're considering using a company, just keep in mind that the smaller may be the better and the larger may be the less personal. Arby and I were just talking about how physicians are trained. And we were arguing back and forth. Well, I was arguing. Arby was just sort of looking at me. We were talking about how physicians are trained and how they're trained not to be emotionally connected in 100% of the time. And I was talking about Ayurvedic medicine and how that's a completely different philosophy. So tell us a little bit about how you separate, which is what I think the big banks do, by the way. So this is the crossover that we're
trying to do. It's not separation because we need to learn how to deal with one patient and move to the other one. So in the case of we lose one patient, we have to be able to get ourselves together and go and treat the second patient and save the life. So that's our thing. Like, you know, you have to put a limit to your emotions because you cannot, let's say you lose a patient, all of a sudden get all emotional and then you won't be able to save the second one because you're all emotional and guess what? You're going to lose the second one.
Well, everybody out there that has an HMO or a PPO or whatever it is that Obamacare is, you all know that the issue here is, does my doctor care about me? Because I don't really care about the next guy, right? Oh, I mean, that's a right typical now, patient, right?
Yeah, but see, right now the insurance companies are calling, making the calls. It's not letting the physicians to actually make the calls and be the one on the driver's seat.
See, now what's the crossover? Crossover is that large banks, large banking institutions, they treat you like the HMOs. Well, not us at Malibu Funding, no.
We're the PPOs.
Exactly. What we're trying to say is that companies like us, we actually do care more about you as a person, and we try to draw a picture and paint a picture for the submittal of your loans, whether it's credit, whether it's the type of employment, whether it's a non-traditional loan or a traditional loan. And so what we'd like you to do is pick up the phone now at 888-713-2929. Give us a call. Arby, the mortgage doctor, is ready to write your prescription, right?
For the mortgages.
For the mortgages, exactly.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
With me today, I have a great guest for you. We had talked about non-QM products in previous shows. What is QM? What is not QM? How it affects you in the purchase world, and how it affects you when you're going out there to get that house. Let's say you're a borrower that doesn't make a steady income on a weekly paycheck, a W-2 paycheck, and you're out there. You make great money, but you're making a check every 3 or 4 months. You are basically what they call a stated borrower. You are a business owner, and you just don't know how to get that house. Well, there are loans out there in the marketplace right now called non-QM. What is QM? What is not QM? Today with me is Eric Morganson. Eric, how you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, great. Eric's checking his voicemail on his phone. Now, this is a busy guy, so we were lucky to get him. We're lucky to get him in the studio today to help answer some of these questions. Been around a long time. He currently works for – who do you work for today?
I'm a private equity firm. We are just some deep pockets. This is the real beginning of private money entering the mortgage space to eventually replace the GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Okay, do you really think that's going to happen?
We'll see.
Do you think Freddie Mae, do you think they're going to go away?
I do not. I hope they don't. They're good for the industry, but
right.
Who knows?
Okay, because for those of you who don't know, right now, most of the loans in the United States are sold directly to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or Ginnie Mae. And that is about 90% of loans. Last year, I think it was about $1.7 trillion. Do you know the exact number? Something like that. And this year, it's actually projected to drop quite a bit. And we've seen a lot of loan officers, a lot of companies go out of business. But what we're talking about today is non-Freddie, non-Fannie, people that are wanting to purchase loans on the secondary market who are not government-sponsored or basically government-backed. And that's what we're talking about today with you. Tell us, give us a brief history of QM. What is QM? Why is that so important? And the products that you're going to offer today to those type of borrowers who will need a non-traditional lender.
Well, we see a huge opportunity in the market with common sense lending. Common sense lending has left the mortgage industry for about 7 years since the financial meltdown.
Right.
This is a loan program that is in between hard money lending, that high rate balloon payment type of lender, and these tight agency guidelines that borrowers that make great money, they really have a non-traditional way of documenting it, self-employed, people that can write a check for 20% down on a property, yet no lender's willing to talk to them. We think that's silly, and that is the marketplace that we're in, and it's known as non-qualified mortgages, which actually scares a lot of people. I prefer non-agency. But the non-QM business, the non-QM really was determined on January the 10th, 2014 of this year, Jeff. That's when the CFPB delineated between what is a qualified mortgage and what is a non-qualified mortgage. A qualified mortgage is the rules that the federal government will backstop that loan with taxpayers' dollars because it's qualified. And the true aspect of a qualified mortgage is a debt-to-income ratio that is at or below 43% debt-to-income, meaning...
And when the government gets involved in the lending business, okay, I don't know whether it's a good thing, I don't know whether it's a bad thing, but right today, it is, as I said before, it's 90% of the loans out there today are this. So if you're in the market for a loan, this is what you got to deal with, unless you've got products and a different type of approach to really... As you say, qualified mortgage, non-qualified mortgage. I mean, and you threw out the term CFPB. the mortgage industry is now controlled 100% by the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, which is an element of the Dodd-Frank bill passed in 2008 after the meltdown, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So in given the guidelines and the power and the people, what we're really talking about here is, okay, there are a lot of borrowers out there that just don't fit into that mode. Doesn't mean you're a bad borrower. And non-qualified has a connotation that sounds like, oh, my gosh, these are bad people. They're not bad people. They're just non-traditional income earners, right?
Non-traditional income. They've had a credit event, possibly a bankruptcy, a foreclosure. That doesn't mean that that's a bad borrower because they're putting at least a 20% down payment on their property. Why wouldn't we do a loan for somebody with a recent credit event?
So this is an equity-based loan securitized by the money you have in the property.
That is exactly right. It is equity-based. It's as simple as that.
Okay, very good. And so what you're saying is your company, and do you see this space growing? Or, I mean, do you think there'd be a lot of lenders jumping in this? I personally do. I think what we've got here is if you've got 20% in a property, there is no way in an ascending market, which is what we've got up in the Bay Area. Let's face it, San Jose, Oakland, and San Francisco, as well as in Southern California and a number of other markets in the country. Hey, real estate prices are going up. Now, I know that that's not true everywhere. But in the markets that we're talking about and the markets that are listening to this show, you have got prices which are increasing at least 10% a year for the past 3 to 5 years. So if you're willing to put 20% down, why wouldn't a lender lend in that market? That's what you're saying.
That's right. But they don't qualify under Fannie, Freddie, or Jennie. So
right.
They're not an agency borrower. So this is the huge delta in between hard money and agency. This is where this non-qualified, non-agency product exists. And it's brand new. A lot of people have been told if they've had a bankruptcy or if they've had a foreclosure,
right,
deed in lieu, short sale, that you have to wait. It's called a seasoned loan. I'm sorry, you have to wait either 2 years if you're a veteran, 3 years if it's FHA, up to 5 years if you're going to go agency. Lord knows you're going to have to wait a long time if you want to get a jumbo loan.
Right.
We don't see any reason for you to wait. Why not buy a house today if you can write a check for 20% down? How are we going to get hurt? Now, we believe that if you look—
One second. Yeah. If you want to call with questions, I know there are borrowers out there right now who are thinking, hey, I've got this kind of situation. I just, I was foreclosed on, or I had a bankruptcy, or some credit issue is what you're calling a credit event, but I've got plenty of money. I make great money, and I want to get into a house now before the prices go up even further. 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Today with me is Eric Morganson, and he's with a private capital equity fund that works through Malibu Funding, Inc., your voice in the mortgage industry, www.malibufunding.net. You can reach us at info@malibufunding.net, a number of different ways in order to reach us, in order to ask questions about what your particular situation is, which is what you have to do in order to take advantage of these great programs that we will be offering and we are currently offering now. How was that? Is that a pretty good commercial?
I'd like to see it say that again.
Exactly right. Okay, so let's get back to non-traditional equity-based lending, and you were talking about a bankruptcy. How far out of bankruptcy can you start when the guy has 20% down on a property to get a loan?
That's a great question. Now, it's going to depend on a few things. If the bankruptcy involved, was it a Chapter 13? What is it, Chapter 11? Was it a Chapter 7? We
right.
can do one day out of bankruptcy on certain bankruptcy scenarios. Was there a foreclosure involved in,
right.
let's say, the Chapter 7, and
right.
the foreclosure's all done with? Yes, one day out of bankruptcy on that. So what I love about Malibu Funding is why we're offering this product to you guys is that you guys are great communicators on this.
Right.
Now, let's talk about a foreclosure as well. One day out of foreclosure. And it comes back to, every loan is like a three-legged stool. One leg is debt to income ratio, or the ability to repay the loan. Another leg is the credit score, which is your FICO score. And that third leg is the loan to value, or the equity behind that loan.
Right.
With this product that we're offering through Malibu, we really are not looking so much as the credit. We are depending more on the equity, the down payment, or the equity in the property on a refinance, and also the ability to repay the loan. That is key on non-agency, non-qualified mortgage lending.
How do you determine that? And now if you've got people who are, let's say they're not W-2 wage earners, or maybe they are, but how do you determine the ability to repay on a 30-year mortgage? How long is your terms? 20, 30, 30 years? How long do they last?
The terms that are being offered through this private equity fund, through Malibu Funding Incorporated, is on these non-QM owner-occupied, they're 30-year fixed,
okay.
No balloon,
great.
And no prepayments.
Great. That's key. I mean, without that, you can't have a true competition to a Freddie and Fannie loan. But these non-QM loans, which have long-term viability to them. And obviously, to call and get a quote, you make sure you give us a call at 888-713-2929. We want to be able to go through what your particular situation is. But let me get back to that point about, okay, we're determining how you're going to be able to repay the loan. So in order to determine that, do you have a matrices? Do you build a story with the individual clients? Just because I know that we're going to come to you with people and they're going to say, hey, look, this is what we have. What can you do? And you're going to say, well, we need to prove that they can repay the loan.
That's right. So we're looking at the entire story behind the loan, not so much as just the ratios and the numbers and, oh, it doesn't match. We have no hard stops. So there's always circumstances that why traditionally the loan wouldn't work.
Obviously, in tight real estate markets, when you are a non-wage earner or you've got some credit issues or events that have happened in your recent past or even a couple of years ago, you want to make sure that you get into the market now. Why? Because prices are going up. Let's face it. San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, Southern California around Los Angeles, even in the Inland Empire in Northern California, what you're finding is that you're getting priced out of the market because you just can't qualify for that mortgage right now. Well, we can help you do that. Now, during the break, we were talking about jumbo loans. And I know in the area that we're broadcasting currently, jumbo is anything over, what is up in the Bay
417.
Area? 417. So every property is over $417,000, it seems, in this area. So in order to help these type of borrowers, it's still 20% down, right?
It is. It's 20% down. We do offer, through Malibu Funding, Inc., a 5-1 ARM that has a lower payment for its fixed for the first 5 years. Then it adjusts at a cap rate at max 2%.
Now, a lot of these ARMs, which is the adjustable rate mortgages, or the hybrid loans, or a 7-1 or a 10-1, or they've always had a bit of confusion in the marketplace. I think they're great products for people who want short-term solutions at lower rates.
Well, we find the jumbo borrower, very sophisticated borrower, obviously, is always watching cash flow.
Right.
They are risk takers to the point where they are going to upgrade their house. And the average American homeowner will sell their house on average once every 7 years.
Right.
So to be put into a 30-year fixed loan when you might be out of the house in 4 years and upgrading possibly, it is an outstanding solution.
Well, the interest rates obviously are lower at a shorter term because that's just the way it is in the mortgage industry. And to get a rate, to get a quote, to let us help you determine what's the best loan for you, obviously you got to give us a call, 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton. Today with me is Eric Morganson, and we're talking about non-QM loans. We're talking about non-Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae loans, loans that don't quite fit into the Citibank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, traditional, let's just cookie cut it and get it done type of loan. What we're talking about here is addressing you personally. You are a person with a story. The story of who you are, and in the first segment, we talked about the three-legged stool. Who is the borrower? How can they afford to pay this back? And what's going on with their credit score is a story about you. This is individualized, what they call underwriting. The people at the lender, with the lender, are going to look at you as a human being. Is that right?
That's right. There is no DU, automated underwriting, or LP, automated underwriting engines that are offered by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. This is a manual underwrite, just like it was done 20 years ago.
That's right. That's exactly right. When we used to deal with paper, when there was thousands of pages of paper that would go across somebody's desk, and you would hand this file over to a person who would go through it page by page and build a story. That's exactly what we're talking about here, manual underwriting.
That's right. And the stories that we're seeing, we think, is absolutely silly, where a borrower is willing to put 20, 25% down on their property. They've had a bankruptcy maybe, I don't know, 3 months ago, or a foreclosure 18 months ago, and nobody's willing to talk to them. We think that's silly.
I think it's silly too. Okay, let's go through a scenario here, because I think what happens is we tend to get lost in the esoteric. Let's get down and dirty. I'm a borrower, okay? I am buying, and I just thankfully got into a property. It's over in San Jose, $750,000 fixer, and I'm going to put 20% down on this property. However, as you just said, I had a foreclosure 18 months ago, okay? I've got 25% to put into this property. I'm a business owner that owns a couple of fast food restaurants. And I did have a divorce a couple years ago, but that's all been taken care of. And the payments that I'm making to my ex-wife, I make great money. But when I go into a regular bank or a mortgage broker, they all look at me and say, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Can you help me?
We can. You could even be one day out of that foreclosure. Your FICO score could be as
low. Great, I'll call my brother.
Your credit score could be as low as, let's say, a 580. And as long as you're willing to put 20, 25% down, this is our type of borrower. That makes perfect sense to us. We believe a borrower that has got equity in their property is less of a risk at a 580 FICO score than, let's say, an FHA borrower at a 680 FICO score that's only putting 3.5% down on their property. This is just common sense lending re-entering the mortgage industry.
Okay, that's interesting. You mentioned FHA. Okay, let's talk about FHA for a second. There are large segments of California that have borrowers that are 2, 3, 4 people in a loan in order to get the 3.5% down, in order to prove whatever the debt-to-income ratios that they need to get an FHA loan. You talked to me off-air about a borrower that can get gift funds. Now, what are gift funds? And because some of the lenders that we're dealing with out there, they look at gift funds as if somehow you're a drug dealer from some foreign country, or you're selling something on the side in order to do something illegally to get cash under the mattress, or mattress money, as they might say. That's not what you're talking about here. You're talking about a guy that has money that can lend it to me or give it to me. And do you have guidelines on that in terms of?
Yes, gift funds are allowed. If you have a rich uncle that wants to see you get into a house and you don't quite have the 20% down payment, and he can come in with, 10% and you put in 10%, we allow that gift fund as a part of the down payment.
How do you prove out? I mean, what are the guidelines towards the money? Do you have to prove where the guy got the money, or can? I mean, this has always bugged me. If a guy has 20% down, what does the lending industry care where the money came from? I mean, seriously.
Well, there is money laundering rules
sure,
out there,
sure, but there is.
And that rich
sure.
uncle, we'd have to source that it came from his bank account. But how he made it is not anybody's
how
business.
How long does he have to have it in that account? Do you know?
And get funds immediately.
Oh, okay. So basically, you can get the rich uncle to give you $100,000 on a property that you need 20% down on, which would be whatever it is, a $1 million property. And you get $100,000 from him. I got $100,000 from me. The source of the funds is not necessarily seasoned that long in the uncle's account.
Normally, it's 60 days, but
oh, okay.
there's exceptions, and we're looking for compensating factors.
Okay, excellent. I think we've covered just a ton of stuff here today. I really want to thank you for coming in. We'll have you back. I think this product line, this way to approach lending, and I think the market and the segment of the market that we're talking about today is going to grow. Eric, thanks very much for coming.
Thank you for having common sense and offering this product.
For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
We are at the point in the program where we are going to take questions from our social media department, Facebook, Twitter, emails, anything we might have gotten from you from an online source. Sean writes, I am 62 years old, about to retire, and live on a fixed income. My mortgage payment might be a problem if I get sick. How can I keep the house and make sure I have cash in the bank? Okay. We have talked about this in many regards. Fixed income customers are different than someone who's got 20, 30 years of income that they're going to be making from their job. Obviously, you're close to retirement. You're looking at, and I think prudently as well, you may have a 401k, which is your retirement account. You may have some money in the bank. Obviously, what you're talking about here is you're worried about your mortgage payment. Now, there are a couple of products that you might be interested in doing. Obviously, we can refinance the property into a fixed rate that you can't afford. We can get you into a reverse mortgage. And we've talked about reverse mortgages before. It's a great product, but it's a product that requires education of both the consumer and you. I mean, Sean, give us a call and make sure that you can understand the options for you to be able to look at your long-term health. Maybe your spouse has something that's coming up that you don't want to share through the obviously the email or the Twitter that you sent us, the tweet that you sent us. Just make sure that when you do call us, you're very specific about what you're looking to do. Do you want to put cash in the bank? You want to put a couple hundred thousand in the bank? You want to take it out of your house, but you don't want any mortgage payments? Yeah, we can do that. It's called a reverse mortgage, and there's a very specific and detailed analysis that we're going to have to do in order to help you decide for yourself what's the best course of action. Reverse mortgages are a very secure product. There's government counseling that goes along with it, and we can direct you. We don't do that counseling. We direct you with a third party who will help you in understanding the product and also understanding exactly where you can, you know, look at the different aspects of what we're trying to talk to you about as an independent company. Third-party counseling is required, so that's a good part of it. There's also cash-out refis, which is put you into a fixed-rate product. Now, this is all determined on the fact that you have equity in your home. The equity in your home can be used for either the reverse mortgage product or the cash-out refi product. Now, if you're in a situation where it's possible that you don't have enough equity in your house and you are worried about making the mortgage payment, if someone gets sick, yourself, your spouse, maybe you've got other issues. Maybe you're even looking after your parents or your wife's parents or maybe your husband's parents. I mean, these are the types of things that we have to talk to you about individually. And so making sure that you give us a call at 888-713-2929, or you can visit us on the website, too. You can also, I mean, it seems like that your communication, you like to email or tweet or get to us in a number of different ways. www.malibufunding.net is our website. You can go there and even anonymously ask a question, and we'd be able to be happy to answer any kinds of questions like this.
Stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Today we have a great guest. She's been here before. Wendy Van Wessel from Stearns Lending. Stearns is one of the largest wholesale lenders in the United States. Difference between wholesale and retail is that they deal with people like me to lend you money. So we are both a broker and a correspondent lender at Malibu Funding. And Stearns deals with both of us on the wholesale level and on the correspondent level. They're a great company, been around a long time, and I've known Wendy for quite some time as well. So how are things?
Very good. We actually were the number one wholesale lender last year and in the first quarter of this year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, when you say that, what kind of volume are we talking about? Are we talking now, of course, being in the Bay Area in San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland, what we're talking about up there is a very tight real estate market. And so in order to understand the strength of the lender you're working with, that's one of the reasons that we're talking about how Stearns is doing and what Stearns is doing in the lending industry. What are the numbers that you guys are churning out?
Last year was $1.96 billion.
$1.96 billion last quarter? Last year?
Last year.
Okay. And traditionally, is that a big number? Is that a small number? I mean, let's say we're doing $1.7 trillion in mortgage loans last year, and you guys are doing $1.5 billion, something like that. And how many loans is that?
Well, our branch alone did $100 million last month.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, well, $100 million last month. So let's say you guys do jumbo loans, right?
Correct.
Okay, and what do you go up to?
We go up to $2.5 million.
Okay, so these loans that Wendy's talking about, obviously we do through Malibu Funding. We have a great relationship with them. So make sure you give us a call, 888-713-2929. These are qualified mortgages. And these are all sold to Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae?
Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and we do service some ourselves as well.
Okay, servicing loans is part of what you do for Stearns. Okay, big thing. One of the reasons I asked Wendy to come here today, and of course nobody knows this, but I'm going to ask her anyway, how are the rates doing out there? How is that money borrowing thing going on?
Well, they always say, if I had a crystal ball, boy, would I be a millionaire, right?
Yes, billionaire. We want to be a billionaire. Everybody's a millionaire now. You know the book, Millionaire Next Door?
Right.
It's not me. But regardless, so how are the rates are ranging? They're low. They're historic lows. So
they're at historic lows right now.
Still?
Yes. And the QE1 and the QE2, the quantitative easing that the government's been doing, where they invest $85 billion a month into
mortgage-backed securities
and U.S. bonds.
Okay.
Right? Today, Yellen just came out with that she's going to cut back the mortgage.
Yellen, yes. Head of the Fed.
Thank you. Sorry.
No
that
problem.
She's going to cut back the mortgage-backed security purchases by $10 billion a month.
Okay, so we were up to 80. Weren't we doing 80 billion a month in terms of 40 here, 40 there, 40 the mortgage-backed securities, and 40 the buying bonds? And
correct.
Now we're cutting back further. We already did it once. Yep. What they call tapering. Isn't that what they call tapering?
They called it tapering. And what the government's doing when they buy their own U.S. bonds is they're taking money from one pocket and putting it into the other pocket.
Okay, well, let's not confuse issues here. Wendy and I are on opposite sides of the political spectrum, but the government is not the Fed, correct? The
correct.
Fed is a separate entity, is not the government.
Correct.
Okay, so when you're saying the government is robbing from Peter to pay Paul, you're really talking about the Fed monetary policy and how they've decided to help the economy by pumping money into both the mortgage-backed securities purchases and the bond market, both of which artificially lower interest rates. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And so by scaling back or tapering, what we're talking about is easing off of the Fed's ability to affect rates. And how has that affected the rates in the marketplace?
Well, when I was discussing it with a few people and my brokers,
okay.
is if they cut back $10 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities that they're buying,
okay.
then there's not as much demand for them. So
right.
if there's not as much demand for them, then a higher rate on the mortgage-backed securities would be more attractive to investors.
So when that means that the rates for the mortgages themselves have to go up. I mean, if I'm
right.
a buyer of mortgage-backed securities, what's a mortgage-backed security? Let's say you put 500 loans together, and that total, whatever that is, you bundle that with another 500 loans or 10 500 loan product, and then whatever the yield is, the amount of money you're making on a general basis, let's say it's 2%, let's say that particular yield you are now going to bundle together with a bunch of these other products and then sell a bond for 1.5%, correct?
Correct.
And those bonds are purchased by foreign governments, you know, people who want a steady income, people who want to know where their money is. So if, in fact, you have to offer more money yield to those people who are buying the bonds, that means that the mortgage rates themselves have to go up in order to compensate for that. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. It's supply and demand.
Okay.
Always.
Was that confusing, my explanation?
No. Was it confusing? I don't know. If you if you look at how they're buying and they're purchasing, and I'll keep it just the facts, ma'am, just
okay.
the facts.
So thank you, Joe Friday.
If you have $40,000 in U.S. bonds that they're buying and you yep. have $40,000, say, in mortgage-backed securities, and all of a sudden they pull back $10 billion, well, now you have a lot of mortgage-backed securities that don't have the investor. So they're buying them from Fannie and Freddie, those loans they used to do that were kind of iffy because they didn't ask for as many things as they do in today's world in order to get a mortgage. What
a QM product today is quite a bit different than whatever they were doing 5 years ago, 7 years ago.
Correct. I hear from people all the time that, you know, I had an A-plus borrower and it made him feel as though they were a criminal, the way that they ask for all the documentation and paperwork, because they're making sure that they have debt-to-income ratio, the low
mm-hmm.
LTV, that they're stronger loans. And those stated loans of yesteryear where you stated what you made,
right?
They're gone.
Yes,
for
they
the
are
part.
Gone.
Yeah.
There are some companies out there in the space, and that space probably will be growing, especially if interest rates start rising because of this issue of either non-tapering or the fact that interest rates are going to go up anyway. Everybody's been saying that for the last 3 to 4 years, although They are historically low, am I right?
When they are. When we had our monthly call with Mr. Hale, our CEO, he was saying that in April and May, he thought that the rates would stay low, and he thought after May they would shoot right up. Well,
right.
Because of foreign interest in buying our mortgage-backed securities and our United States bonds, that has stretched out. So the rates are still staying low because of the foreign interest in buying them still.
Well, so what you're saying then is if we taper from the Fed and it's filled with the demand from, let's say, foreign governments because there's issues over in Russia and in that part of the world or in the Middle East, in that part of the world, whatever's going on, then the flight from foreign sovereigns or whoever has money in those particular areas, they're going to come to the mortgage-backed securities. So is it quite possible then that tapering won't affect the mortgage rates? I mean,
it didn't.
It's kind of a chess game, right?
It is, and it didn't affect them that much last time, did they, when they scaled back $10 billion last time?
No, it didn't affect it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and when we're talking about the Fed, what are we really talking? They're printing money, right? Isn't that really what they're doing? Or do they have their own resources to tap upon without printing money?
When those bonds come due, the U.S. bonds, not the mortgage-backed securities.
Right.
Because they diminish in value as if you get a 30-year loan.
Yep.
At the end of your 30-year loan, you have nothing left. If you have a bond for $100 and that bond comes due, that person that invested in that bond still has that $100.
I see. Oh, that's true. That's true. That's the principle. Okay. What we're talking about is how these world events, how the Fed's events affect your rate. 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. With me is Wendy Van Wessel from Stearns Lending. Stearns Lending and Malibu Funding have been in business together for quite some time on the wholesale and soon to be on the correspondent level in terms of lending money to you. So these events that are out there where everybody tends to be either afraid or they're bullish, they're very confident, we're really just kibitzing here about exactly how and what is affecting mortgage rates and where they're headed in the future. And probably the best time to be able to get into a mortgage, well, obviously the best time is now because we can't see, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't see the mortgage rates staying this low forever.
No.
Although, you know, with the tapering what it is and world events being what it is, the demand on U.S. mortgage products, I don't know. What I'm going to do is, you know, I guess just guess. I mean, in a lot of respects, we have to come back to you at Stearns or other lenders to find out what the rates are going to be long term.
Correct. Then you look at the rise of inflation, the consumer pricing index. You look at all different aspects to find out whether or not our economy is growing, whether or not you have an appetite for mortgage-backed securities. All of these things come into play to see whether or not the rates are going to go higher or not. So,
okay. I want to thank Wendy for showing up here today and being a guest. She's back all the time. Call us at 888-713-2929. This is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Arbi Abramyan is here with me, the mortgage doctor, to do the wrap-up for the show. And thank everybody for listening. How are you, Arbi, again?
Great, great.
Okay, so we talked with Eric about non-QM loans. Really interesting. I mean, I think what they can offer us to offer to our particular customers is the ability for non-traditional, non-W-2 employees to be able to get a loan, or a self-employed person, right?
That's basically what it is.
Right, and it's not hard money.
No.
I mean, and the best part of not being hard money is obviously it's going to cost you a lot less than it would be if you go to hard money. And the other thing is, too, if you have a hard money out there, hard money loan right now that you got into to purchase your home because you wanted to get into a home while the prices were still low. Now, I know for many of our audience that is a long time ago, but still, if your loan is a hard money loan that's come due 2, 3, 5 years after you got it, you can't go get another hard loan on a primary residence. It's against the law now. So what are you going to do to be able to get the mortgage that you need in order to keep your house? Well, you've got to go to a non-traditional, non-QM lender like what we've got. So make sure that you give us a call at 888-713-2929. And if you want to contact us or go to our website in order to see who we are, it's
MalibuFunding.net.
MalibuFunding.net. And our email address is info@MalibuFunding.net. Let's see. We also talked to Wendy today. I like Wendy.
Wendy's great.
Wendy's great, yeah. Right. And we've had Wendy on the show a number of times. And I asked her, and I think we kind of sandbagged her a little bit by saying, hey, Wendy, why don't you predict the rates for us?
And the mortgage balloon.
The mortgage balloon. Yes, exactly. The mortgage ball, the mortgage balloon. So as everybody knows, mortgage rates are dependent upon the bond market. And of course, if you can figure that out and explain it to anybody in the street, good luck. Because the bonds go up and down based on a number of different factors, the long term, the short term, mortgage-backed securities, how different levels of financing for the mortgage industry is done from the bonds put together by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And of course, everybody out there is going, huh, what? Well, just to know that the mortgage rates themselves are dependent upon world events. If something happens in the Middle East, if something happens in South America, hey, if something happens in New York City, rates are going to be affected because risk is all a part of how money is lent. Even though large banks, large banking institutions borrows their money from the federal government and then lends it to smaller institutions like myself in order to lend it to you, it is still affected by world events. It's affected by the bond market. So, Wendy, we did sandbag her. She was good. She stood her ground. And as we get into the political speak of whether it's right that the Dodd-Frank bill did this or whether mortgage-backed securities is funded by the Fed, or I don't really know. But taper is happening. It's happening once again. They're stopping, what is it, $5 billion less, $10 billion less?
Yeah.
So what this means is that the Fed obviously is not going to be purchasing, and they really need to get out of the business. In the mortgage business anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
I know. I mean, really, we all want to see a private sector industry more vibrant than it is currently today. We're dealing with 90% purchased loans from Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae.
That's because, like, in 2010, like, everything went through the government, like FHA.
Absolutely.
So nobody wanted to go with the conventional loans. Those were actually, like, it was only 10% of the market.
Absolutely.
But now it's coming back.
Absolutely. I mean, the FHA, because the federal government wanted to slow down FHA use, what they did, they upped the fees.
Exactly.
And they lowered the amount you could borrow.
Yeah.
So in some areas, that especially within my voice, obviously up in the Bay Area where we're broadcasting today, the FHA limits are as high as you can get. But can anybody up there buy a house for $675,000? I don't think so. Not a great house. I mean, maybe out in the outlying areas. Okay, so really happy that you all came today. Thanks, Arvy. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. And Arvy will be here every week, as I will be. I am Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. MalibuFunding.net is our website.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program, along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.